She's confetti falling down all night. She sits quietly there, black water in a jar. Says, baby, why are you trembling like you are? So I wait and I try. I confess like a child.
Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop. I love to give the girls a...
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge. It's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
All right. Happy Monday to everybody. Hope you all had a good weekend. Welcome to the shooting bench. 14th of November. This month's moving right along. They're looking forward to seeing what all happens here between now and Inauguration Day. Should be very, very interesting. What the world are you talking about, Kim de Con Queso? Okay, lots of stuff going on right now. It's going faster than we can keep up with it. For one thing, we had absolutely no indication that I can tell of any significance anyway of the CME that was supposed to happen here over on Election Day or the day before Election Day or whenever it was. It didn't happen anyway, or not anything that made any kind of news of any kind anyway. John Fish, glad you made it in here. I've seen you for a little while. Glad you made it back. Let me check and see if we got any other newcomers in here or old comers that haven't been around for a while. Crochet Mama, I'm starting to see you around a little more often. Glad to have you. Radio Doc, glad you're back. Got Bright Angel, Charlie Brown. Desert Rat, The Tinker, Doc, Peanut Rider, Radio Doc, Rolex, Yakima Glock. Yakima Glock, I don't know where all the Washington people been here lately, but you guys have been making a pretty poor accounting of yourself there. Hey, there's Queso. Haven't seen you for a while either. A handful of anonymous in there. Well, good. Glad to see all that. Anyway, our CME didn't happen, so that was a bunch of to-do for nothing. I guess I told you guys last, when was it? Well, it was on Election Day, Election Night. We had the standoff here in Sholo, and resulting in a cop got killed to start with, and then it was a long, drawn-out thing for the rest of the day until 2 o'clock in the morning with a standoff with the shooter and a hostage, which resulted in the hostage's death. In the shooter's death. Hostage is okay. They had the funeral today, and I'm going to tell you what. I don't think it would have been much more significant if it would have happened in Phoenix or Albuquerque or somewhere else. This little town, what a remarkable turnout for this. This cop was a very, very loved man. He very kind and just a hell of a good guy. And we had one guy estimate that there was at least 500 cops here. There was cops from Phoenix and Springerville and Mesa and Holbrook and St. John's and Payson and, of course, all the Sholo and all the county and state here. Quite a number of motorcycle cops all come to pay their respects to this, to Darren Reed. And it was standing room only, from what I understand. I wasn't able to make it. I was working on the other side of town. So, but they say that it was quite the turnout. From all the pictures that I've seen, it was amazing. And you know, I
I wasn't there when this happened, so I'm not trying to armchair quarterback this, okay? But there's been some things brought to my attention by people in the know that knew what happened the day he got shot. And unfortunately, you know, there's some people, for whatever reason, one reason or another, probably should have chosen a different profession. Now, I'm not saying anything bad about this guy. I'm saying it doesn't sound like he really had the mindset he was within a few weeks of retiring. He'd been going along all this time and everything had gone, you know, no problems. And, you know, maybe he had his retirement on his mind, but apparently he didn't have his guard up very good. He was after a known felon. I don't know how many, if any more, officers were there, but he was in pursuit of this guy, and knowing that he was already a violent felon, didn't even have his weapon drawn, and I'm afraid that that may have contributed to the to his unfortunate demise here. And like I said, I'm not trying to armchair quarterback because I wasn't there. I'm going strictly by things that I've been told. And it just sounds like he just didn't have his mind in the game there right at the end. And that's unfortunate because he was quite a loved individual in the community. So there's, you know, and I don't want to, I'm not going to spend any more time on that. It's just an observation that I've made. So when and if I have any more information, we might talk about it some more. But for right now, we'll just leave it at that. We do have our class on the 19th still coming up. That'll be over in Snowflake. That is the Community Emergency Response Preparedness Training. And as far as I know, that's still going to happen. We will, if something comes up and it doesn't, we'll let everybody know no later than Thursday. But as it looks right now, everything will be fine. So we'll play that by ear here. There has been, you know, when Obama took office, I alluded to the fact that I was wondering if he would have even made it to Inauguration Day, because I just he was not a loved individual, but I guess he was loved by the right side, because conservatives, the right, as they call it, I didn't hear of any threats from our side anyway to assassinate him. I didn't hear of any threats to stop the inauguration. All I heard was a lot of bitching and complaining about him getting in there. However, that was about as far as it went. And the other side, of course, happier than clams. And now that the thing has been reversed here, then all of a sudden we have the other side have threatened several times to assassinate Donald Trump. There's been at least two public officials calling to disrupt or halt the inauguration. And these people, if one of us would have said some of the things that I've heard some of those people say, we would have been in jail before it ever got two likes on Facebook. And there's, I don't know how many, I'm sure that the Secret Service is busy. Hopefully, the Secret Service is, at least some of them, are on our side and not able to be bought, because that could be a problem. But hopefully they are upholding their oath and doing their thing like they should there. But nevertheless, regardless of, you know, be that as it may, it's going to be an interesting 2 months here, almost 2 months before the inauguration. We'll see. Anything we say between now and then will be strictly speculation, but I speculate that it's not going to be a peaceful change of hands here as it turns over to Trump. I hope it is, but not really expecting too much. There was a kid here not too long ago that actually it was only a few days ago, a week or so, that went to rob a place here, went to rob a Pizza Hut. And, well, it didn't work out for him. His name was Michael Grace. He probably should have chosen a different profession because he was shot and killed by one of the employees there. Okay, that's a story with a happy ending so far. But the mother said she's got all kinds of questions as to why there was somebody armed in that Pizza Hut. And why did, they said if there was to be a death, it was not the place of the employee at Pizza Hut. That is the place of law enforcement. So the parents are mad that their son was shot and killed by an employee, and they don't believe the full story has been released to the public yet. They said, why in the hell did this guy have a gun? Well, because your son had a gun, and he was about to rob the place, and there was, it's just the way it works. She said her son was shot in the head. She thinks the shooting may have been personal. Well, okay, well, we've talked about some of this already. And now there is, let me see here, hang on a minute. Let me make sure I've got the right, deal here. Okay. All right, let's bring up the other side of this here. There we go. Now the, no, it's not the same one either. This is, let's see, this was in Charlotte, North Carolina. This is a different one. In Charlotte, North Carolina, there was a Pizza Hut robbed. Still trying to determine if this is the same one. Anyway, this is from the employee's side here. There was no laws broken, no charges against the employee. But Pizza Hut's still kind of up in the air here as to what they're going to do. He's on leave of absence right now. It doesn't say whether he's getting paid or not. Following further review, of course, according to their handbook, it's always been this way. There's been quite a few shootings at both at Pizza Huts and by their delivery drivers. And usually the people are fired. But this one, and Pizza Hut always catches hell for it when they fire somebody. And they don't have any exceptions for people with concealed carry permits or anything like that. But this one, with the way things are going right now, with the climate the way it is in as far as the Second Amendment goes, Pizza Hut may want to rethink what they possibly are about to do here. The chances that someone else could have been, would have been injured or killed, I think, are fairly high. The guy that they shot did have a gun. There was two accomplices with him. And the employee opened fire, dropped the one guy, the other two ran off. They're still trying to find them. And, or at least they were when this story came out. And, So, yes, it is the same one. I've got it figured out now for sure. It was the same one. So, looking at it from the parents' side here and now from the employees' side. So, we're going to keep an eye on that and see what Pizza Hut does with this. Um, Yeah, Yakima Glock, I know that. I would agree with you 100% here. And by the way, let me go back up here and see if you answered me or not. Okay, you said, I guess I've been too busy or something. I haven't seen Eddie for a while. Haven't seen any of the Bosworths. Susie B drops in fairly regular. I don't see her in there tonight, but she's in there from time to time. So Washington is falling behind here in their accounting here in on the shooting banishment. Oh, well. Yakima Glock's there, so everybody's here that counts, I guess. Huh? Is that right? Okay. Yeah, Doc. We'll see what kind of gun he had. We'll see if we can figure out one. Let's see here. We've got another deal similar to that. If I can find it here. Here we go. Here's another one. This was one 73-year-old man. Let me say that again. 73-year-old man. There, that came out a little clearer. In St. Louis. A couple of guys broke into his garage, tried to rob him at gunpoint, put the gun up to his head, and this old man wasn't having none of it. He managed to get a gun out of his pocket, which I'm not sure how that happened with the guy already holding the gun up to his head, but evidently he's been practicing. But anyway, he opened fire on them, and they killed them both. There, end of story. That's how it's supposed to work. This was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Both the guys had handguns. One of them had the gun up to the old man's head, and I already told you the rest of it here. The guy living nearby said he heard 7 or 8 gunshots and looked outside to see the two suspects lying on the concrete area where the truck was parked. Oh, well. 18 and 20 years old. Looks like they were... No, they weren't brothers. Jonathan Warren and Lonnie Middlebrook. Pronounced dead on the scene. And that's the end of that story. Super nice guy, likes to tinker in his garage, often helps out his neighbors with small tasks like snow blowing. Said the homeowner had been targeted for robberies in the past, and evidently he wasn't having none of it this time. He said the homeowner feared for his life, and he shot the intruders. Okay, that's the end of that. Let's see, oh, Molly joined us. Glad you made it in there. We had I didn't save that other story here. Dadgummit. Anyway, there's another story in here, and I forgot to save it. But it was a brand new story where a cop... Let me look one more place here and see if I accidentally saved that. Well, if I saved it, it wouldn't be an accident because I wanted to talk about it. Here we go. I did save it. How about me? Damn, I am awesome sometimes, you know it. Now, this is a breaking story. Just came out today, brand new. The Monday morning commute. I haven't even read all of this yet. I just started it, so we'll read this together, all right? The Monday morning commute in Florida came to a standstill after a suspect led police on a wild and deadly chase along southbound I-75. One of the drivers who got caught up in the drama this morning was Rick Maestas. He said there was a high-speed pursuit on the left shoulder. I got off the ramp. There was a man on top of another man. They were struggling for a bit, and I heard 3 shots. Then the man who was sitting on top of the police officer fell to the side. The police officer got up. He was exhausted and laid back down, and then help came. Other drivers who witnessed pieces of the action as it unfolded this morning wrote about it later online. One person said the suspect drove past them, going at least 120 miles an hour. He flew by a deputy who then chased him for at least 3 exits. It appears the deputy was working on an accident at mile marker 126 when the suspect came up on him, and that's when the pursuit began. I watched the suspect jump out of the car and run toward the officer and tackled him. Lee County Sheriff's Office told local news media about the deputy who was involved, 12-year veteran, deputy first class, blah, blah, blah. Suspect who was fighting with the deputy was killed during the struggle, and they reported that a passerby is the one that shot him. The passerby, who had a concealed weapons license, exited his vehicle, instructed the suspect to stop beating the deputy. After non-compliance from the suspect, passerby shot the suspect 3 times. So, there you go. And that really is, officially, the end of that story. All right. I just love all these happy stories we have tonight. There's quite a few videos out there of some of the BLM, not BLM, Bureau of Land Management, but the punks out and all over the place that are the Black Lives Matter bunch. And there's some videos, probably 4 different videos out there where the Black Lives Matter guys are getting smoked, you know, where they're trying to stop cars and the cars are saying, nope, well, I don't think this is a good place for me to stop. So they just plowed through it, blasted through them, which I thought was awesome. Thank you very much. But, yeah, Doc, that wouldn't be a bad thing to talk about. You're right. We might do that Wednesday night. Sounds good. Well, in this is another one in Standing Rock where the Indians are protesting over there and trying to stop the pipeline going through. There was at least 2 of them that were ran over. Now, this is I'm starting to not have any sympathy for these people. You know, I was kind of middle of the road, sitting on the fence here a little bit. I understand their concerns and everything. I'm not 100% sure they're going about it the right way, but I haven't really thought about it a whole lot one way or the other. But I'm starting to think the other way now when stuff like this happens. There was at least 2 protesters ran over as they blocked the road while a resident was trying to go home after a day at work. In the video posted to social media, a crowd of protesters could be seen surrounding the man's large work truck, with many standing close enough in front that their bodies were touching the truck. The man, who was armed with a handgun, repeatedly told the protesters he was simply trying to get home. Just move out of the damn way and let me go home. That's all I want. Well, they didn't. And they continued to surround the truck and yelled at him about being peaceful while demanding to put the gun away. Some of the guys put their hands in the air, but still stood there blocking the road. The guy continued to inch forward slowly, eventually running over at least 2 people. You know, if a guy is trying to, it's one thing to go blasting through there. If a guy is just trying to get there, excuse me, please, I'm easing through here. You've got plenty of chance to move. But if you don't, I'm going to run you over. And that's what he did. So they claimed the man fired several rounds in the air, but they didn't catch any of that on the video, of course. And the man took off. All the information they gathered from the truck and the concrete company he works for, so we'll see if he gets into any trouble for this. But, you know, these people need to understand that some of us have jobs and other things. Some of us just really don't care about your protests and what you're going through. So if you'll just let me go on my way and get home, we'll just forget that, that you were out here acting like a moron. And if you don't, then I'm going to run your ass over. Okay, well, the latter seems to be what happened to these guys. This rioting stuff is starting to get way out of hand here. It's going nuts all over. And I can't help but wonder what it would be like if it were us protesting. How many of us would be dead already? You know, look how peaceful it was up in Oregon. Look how peaceful it was at Bundy Ranch. And still got people in jail over that. And 1 dead. several having medical issues in jail and whatnot. So I'm not convinced that this would have gone as well for us if we were doing the same things. But anyway, there's, and by the way, a story just came out here also that there's a, out at the reviewjournal.com, there's still 17 defendants facing a variety of federal charges, including conspiring to assault the federal agents on April 12th, 2014. Well, they're wanting three separate trials for this. I'm not sure exactly what they're hoping to accomplish with this, but they've proposed three separate trials next year. It's going to be February 2nd, I believe it said. Prosecutors in, let's see, in court papers over the weekend, prosecutors suggested trying the alleged leaders, Pete Santilli, Ryan Payne, Clive Bundy, and Ammon and Ryan Bundy, on February 6th, the existing trial date. Then they suggested a trial in May for the mid-level organizers, Dave Bundy, Mel Bundy, Joseph O'Shaughnessy, Brian Cavalier, James Woods, and Micah McGuire. And the third trial proposed for August, damn near a year away, for the alleged gunman, Ricky Lovelein, I guess. I'm not sure how you say that. Todd Engel, Greg Burdison, Eric Parker, Scott Drexler, and Stephen Stewart. So it looks, for whatever reason, it looks like they're dividing these people into categories, probably by charges, by what they feel like they did wrong. Maybe the ones that are, you know, the third bunch here in August, looks like their thing is going to be enhanced quite a bit by firearms charges. Mid-level organizers probably just be conspiracy and you know, a little bit lower stuff like that. And then the upper level, I don't know what all they're going to get them for. They're going to get them for every damn thing they can possibly get them for. I can promise you that. So it's going to be, the inauguration is 2 months away. I am really, really curious. I really want to know if Trump is going to immediately get involved in this, and if they're going to allow them to, if he's going to get in there and try to shut it down. I don't know. I'm really curious to see what happens. Trump has said a lot of wonderful things, some of them almost hard to believe, but we're going to see. We're going to see before too long.
I can almost hear the stillness as it yields to the sound of your heart beating. Bum, bum, bum. I can almost hear the echo of the thoughts that I know you must be thinking. Bum, bum, bum. And I can feel your body tremble as you wonder what this moment holds in store. Bum, bum, bum. And as I put my arms around you, I can tell you've never been this far before. Bum, bum, bum. I don't know what I'm saying as my trembling fingers touch forbidden places. Bum, bum, bum. I only know I've waited for so long for the chance that we are taking. Bum, bum, bum. Well, I don't know and I don't care what made you tell him you don't love him anymore. kisses, I can tell you've never been this far before. Bum, bum, bum. And as I take the love you're giving, I can feel the tension building in your mind. Uh-huh. And you're wondering if tomorrow I'll still love you like I'm loving you tonight. Uh-huh. You have no way of knowing tonight. Will only make me love you more. Bum, bum, bum. And I hope that you'll believe me, 'cause I know you've never been this far before. Bum, bum, bum. Bum, bum, bum.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
And we're back. A little short break there. Hey, Molly, I don't know if it was, I wanted to kind of explain what I was talking about the quilt that you had mentioned on Facebook. The reason I suggested black as one of the colors is because for the same reason that they have the black armbands and the black stripes over the badges and all that stuff when firefighters and cops are killed and stuff like that. And I don't know if that's what you're looking for that quilt or not, but that's why I suggested that as one of the colors anyway. I just thought I'd throw that out there to you. All right, here's another story that, have you noticed how many of these are coming up here in the last month or two? Maybe 2 or 3 months. This story here is about 10 days old. And this is a concealed carry holder that held a driver at gunpoint after he had run over a 7-year-old trick-or-treater. And they charged him with vehicular assault. Apparently the concealed carry holder, no charges were filed against him. And it was a win-win situation there. Let's see. The 7-year-old boy was holding his father's hand while crossing the street, but then he was hit by the guy in a Toyota 4Runner. The father was hit by the car but wasn't injured, but came out uninjured. The boy was taken to the hospital with fractured skull, missing teeth, and severely bruised, but he's going to be okay. They told police found out the guy had been drinking and smoking dope just before coming home from work. Also told him that the boy ran out in front of the car. Now, I know how this dad feels. I'll tell you what happened when I don't remember what the occasion was. I don't think there was any... there wasn't any holiday or anything like that going on, but we were at the store, at my store in Farmington, and myself and I think Jason and all of my kids, we were fixing to walk across the street to Walmart, the new Walmart they just built right straight across the street from us. And we got up to the curb and we all stopped like we always do. Whether there's anybody coming or not, we always stop on the curb. The kids were young then. They were pretty little. And everybody dutifully stood on the curb like they were supposed to, except my middle daughter. She hesitated, paused just a second, knowing she was supposed to stop, But she is my, she's my little rebel. She's the one that will buck the system, you know, when the time comes. And she dashed out and a car hit her, and I just, man, my heart just, it hit her hard. She literally flew through the air. I watched her. I remember seeing, I don't know why I remember this, but I remember seeing her, her little butt showed there when it hit her so hard that her shorts or whatever she was wearing kind of slid down briefly, and then she landed in the first thing. Her mother had just dropped her off, dropped all the kids off, and that was when we were trading back and forth all the time, and she hadn't even made it back to her house yet. And Carla flew up in front of that car, probably 4 feet off the ground, just landed in a wad, just landed in a pile in the street. The lady driving the car jumped out, and she's just hysterical. And it just, you know, oh, I'm sorry. I'm just gonna, and I said, lady, it's not your fault. Just go on. Just get in your car and go on. So you'll be all right. And just, you know, watch the papers, you know. So she went on. She didn't, and I just said, you know, it's not, well, there's no reason for you to freak out here. I mean, I know that you hit a kid and that's unfortunate for you, but, you know, we're not going to sue you and you're not in trouble. It wasn't your fault. Just go on. You're not helping things any here. So, she was dazed quite a bit. We were in the middle of a busy road, and I gently picked her up as carefully as I could, and which probably I shouldn't have done that, but the way she was moving and setting and everything, I was pretty confident there was no spinal injuries. And so I moved her off over there, and we took her to the hospital. And she got there, and her pupils were extremely dilated, and she was just dazed and really out of it for a little bit. And, you know, they checked her out, and she stayed in the emergency room there for, I don't know, an hour maybe. Checked her out, and she was fine. A little scraped up, bruised up a little bit, but for the way she landed in that in the middle of the road, I was, you know, just seeing her fly through the air like that. I was, yes, that's right. That's exactly right, Molly, and you better believe I did. Thank God for that. I sure did. As a matter of fact, there was numerous prayers that night while this was all going on. But she wasn't hurt a bit. As a matter of fact, she went on and came with us. She was, a little bit confused, a little goofy there for a little while, but that was it. And the next day, other than being sore, no problem. So I was astonished at that. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, so. All right, let me bring up my crystal ball here again. You know, I got to shine this thing up. Sometimes it doesn't work right. Like right now, it's not working right. It's making me pause now for 25 seconds. I am absolutely going to get a new crystal ball. I hear Amazon's got some. I think that's where I'm going to get one. There, yeah, Bright Angel, that was, she definitely had a guardian angel watching over her that night. And I am sure enough grateful for it, you know. Come on. There we go. Now we're cooking with gas. There's another lot of shooting stories here. It's getting to be more and more. It's getting to be a pretty popular pastime here. But here's a woman that has shot her estranged husband in self-defense. And it's kind of a long story. I'm not going to go through all of it, but deputy showed up in her home 10 o'clock Sunday evening, found the 45-year-old male dead in the upstairs bedroom. He'd been shot. Revealed that he was the husband of the woman in the home. Broke into the home, assaulted her with a knife, and fired more than one shot at her with a semi-automatic firearm. The woman had her own firearm in the bedroom. Returned fire, hitting the violent attacker. Her husband had pled guilty to a charge of domestic assault earlier in the year, and there was an active protection order against him. And like so many times, the protection order, that piece of paper, just didn't hold any water. It just they're going to have to start typing those restraining orders up on sheet metal or something, because that paper just is not cutting it. But anyway, there's in the comments here, another paper restraining order had to be enforced with lead. That's the way it works. Most domestic abusers have the sense to just move on with their lives and find a different victim. Well, that's probably what this guy probably should have done. And, you know, can't bring themselves to use a firearm. Yeah, Rolex, he was strange. He was strange for going, evidently he either didn't remember his wife knew how to shoot, or she learned after he'd gone, one or the other. But some people are just flat opposed to using a handgun, you know, or a firearm of any kind to protect themselves. And on the one hand, I want to say, I guess I don't know what to tell you. If you're attacked, then good luck. But on the other hand, I've got to try, as hard as it is for me to do this sometimes, I need to try to be a little bit more tolerant, and and remind myself that not everybody was raised like me, and that's probably a damn good thing for the country. But if you can't do that, then look at a taser, look at a stun gun, look at something else, maybe a knife, maybe whatever. We do some minor training classes on stuff like that, but I'm not a big fan. But if you can't or won't carry a gun, then you need to figure out something. We were talking, when was this? Yesterday. Yesterday in church, actually, there was the teacher up there had asked, what did we get out of the shooting? Did anybody, was there any lessons to be learned, or has anybody given any thought to the shoot? Talking about the cop being shot here in Sholo the other day, and there was a couple of good comments, but. Everybody was still missing the point here. And I'm in the process of writing a deal for this right now. But one of the things that I've asked people is, the first thing everybody says is, oh, yeah, fist bumps and high fives and, oh, we got him. Yeah, we smoked that son of a gun. Will never hurt another cop. And, while I understand the sentiment there, I really do. And that's probably the first thing that comes to mind. But has anybody ever given any thought to what was going through his mind? Yes, he was a violent felon. Yes, he'd been in jail two other times. Yes, he'd had intentions of doing harm to people. But what was going? Something may have. Maybe he's not just an evil guy. Maybe something snapped in his head. That happens. I'm not convinced that every single person out there that kills a cop or kills anybody or does anything is evil right off the bat. Sometimes I think that maybe they have been, their mind is snapped and they are, I'm not going to say possessed, but, Satan has taken a hold of them, and they're not in their right mind, okay? And the argument always is when I say that to people, well, nobody in their right mind would kill somebody or kill a cop or whatever the case may be. I get that, but that's not what I mean. I think that there are, you know, everybody has their own demons that we have to deal with, and some of these people, I'm not saying that I would have hesitated for a damn second to light him up myself. But it's the congratulations and the celebratory festivities after some of these people are shot that concerns me sometimes. Yes, in his situation, yes, he needed shot. He needed stopped. He was holed up in a cabin out there and wasn't going to give up, and I'll have to give our cops a lot of credit here. They showed a lot more restraint than a lot of officers do around the country. They did everything that they could, and and when it was over, they fired him up in a big way. But and I'm not saying that there was any celebratory stuff after they. I wasn't there, so I don't know that. But it happens to a lot of them. So I sometimes just wonder if we could get inside that guy's head before this happened and find out what's going on in there. And of course we don't have time to do that, and it's unreasonable to think that we could do it, but it's just I've always been curious about there's one thing to be calm, cool, collected, and calculating and evil, and it's quite another, I think, when it could be drugs, absolutely, Molly, no question, that happens a lot of times. So anyway, one of those things, I guess. Let's see if I can get my crystal ball to come back open here. There we go. How about that? Right off the bat. Okay. Hey, how about that? I just about used up all my... Oh, here's one that I didn't get. Here's two that I didn't get. Have you... Well, we already talked about that. I'm going to leave that one go. But here's a Pennsylvania man that was shot by police after stabbing six inside a mental hospital. This just happened day before yesterday. He wasn't killed. He was shot by police, taken into custody. The Allegheny County police said officers were called into the facility after receiving a call regarding a stabbing and sexual assault. Police were dispatched, and upon arriving, announced multiple people fleeing from the building. Police said they found on the fifth floor of the building armed with two kitchen knives and a BB gun without markings. Oh, well. Anyway, long story short, they lit him up. Now, this is one that I am confident that his mind had snapped. He just kept repeating over and over, "You ruined my life." And I'm not sure who he was talking about, who he was talking to, but apparently he was not talking to the cops. So this is one that I think had just mentally snapped. So I don't believe that that's the type that you have your celebrations over when he goes down. You know. Okay. Looking at some of the comments on the chat room here. Well, let me go back here and get my... There was a... I told you about the... public officials call. One of them was a councilwoman calling on protesters to shut down the inauguration. I'm not even going to go anymore with that. It drives me nuts. Well, let's see here. Here's the one I'm looking for. Now, this one was kind of, this one's way out there. From day before yesterday, they had a sign in front of a protest in front of the Trump Hotel, and there's some idiot out there with a great big sign, black letters on white background. It says, all it says on it is rape Melania, whatever her name is, Donald Trump's wife. That is about as sick as I can't believe somebody would. And that should be, I would think, I'm pretty confident it's against the law, especially now that she's a president-elect wife. But I'm sure that nothing will be said. But there was one guy, one person out of this whole bunch. Everybody stood around and watched, 150 people. Nobody said a word. I just watched. And one single, all by himself, lone, solitary Trump supporter waded through all these idiots and confronted the man. The guy dropped his sign and took off running. Cowards that they are, all of them. I despise those people. That's why I've always said, and I wrote this, had it in my big sign in my store and had it there for years. I put it in there in 2003, and it still hangs around today. It says, liberalism is not a political choice. It is an incurable mental illness that has done to America in two decades what our enemies could not do in two centuries. And that was 13 years ago that I wrote that. Okay, well, it looks like Doc's leaving us. Glad you dropped in there, Doc. And it's about time for Cope to leave us. So I'm glad that you guys sat in here with me tonight. The new schedule is... By the way, we got everything worked out there on Friday, and DeTinker got all his stuff running right. So hopefully everything will be back on track this Friday. Amy will be here. We have sat down and talked about this actually tonight before I came on, and she is prepared now to take back her rightful place on Living Way out here. An hour before Liberty Lounge, she'll be on at 8 p.m. Pacific time. No, she won't. She'll be on at 8 p.m. Mountain time, 7 Pacific, with Living Way out here. And then Liberty Lounge will come on as normal. I don't have the heart to neuter Liberty Lounge at all. It's still going to be 2 hours. But until the time changes again, we'll be an hour Mondays and Wednesdays. And Liberty Lounge will commence as, or continue as always. So. Okay, well, got all that kind of blubbered out there. So with all that being said, I'm going to tell you guys hasta la night-night, and I'll see you Wednesday night. We got some reloading issues. Doc's got a good point there. We'll talk about that, and... we'll see you then. If anything else dramatic comes up between now and then, it'll be on my Facebook page. You can, I don't know if I've ever told you all the Facebook crap that I've got. I've got my regular page under my name, Cope Reynolds. I have LFA 3% Arizona. I have Dying is Not an Option. Both of those are groups. I have Pioneer Preppers, which is another group. I have a page for the Shooting Bench, a page for Survival Circle Radio Network, and a page for Southwest Shooting Authority. No, I have a, a page for Southwest Shooting Authority. And I think that's it. I also am an admin for two or three other groups, New Mexico, or Gun Owners of New Mexico, and two or three others. I can't even think of all of them right now. But anyway, if you want to check any of those out, come in and everything has to be approved if you're going to join any of those groups. And hopefully we'll see some of you drop in there. I'm starting to babble as I do so often this time of day, so I'm going to get out of here, and we'll see you all Wednesday. Thanks for joining me.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No reconciliation.